This episode is brought to you by Oat Bedian. For people looking for vegan-friendly and dairy-free alternatives, Oat Bedian offers a series of powdered oat milk beverages that are authentically delicious and nutritious. These tasty products also come in easy-to-prepare sachets that one can enjoy at any time of the day. Oat Bedian oat milk uses quality ingredients that are not only good for people but also friendly to the environment. Oat Bedian products are low in sugar, does not contain palm oil or artificial colors and flavorings. They are made with simple ingredients that are non-GMO, contains no preservatives, gums or thickeners. Oh my goodness! They also have no fillers and no junk. They are available in three yummy flavors: oat milk, chocolate oat milk, and oat milk with oats and chia seeds. So what are you waiting for? You can go to www.oatbedient.com to find out more. Have you ever dreamt of stepping onto the iconic American Idol stage and showcasing your incredible musical talents to the world? Well, if you have and you still doubt yourself on that, then today, this amazing guest and I have your back. Hi, my name is Raisin Chu and I'm your host of The Legacy Show. And today, we have a special guest whose journey from an unforgettable American Idol audition to becoming an inspirational figure is nothing short of remarkable. In this episode, we've invited an inspiring American Idol alum. His name is none other than William Hung. In parts of the world, William Hung has become a household name, and after his American Idol audition, where his song selection was his rendition of Ricky Martin's She Bangs, Hung became famous for all the wrong reasons. Well, since then, he has found incredible success, but his life has had a number of twists and turns along that highway. Despite a humbling start, William redeemed himself. He has since appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live, The Ellen DeGeneres Show, and so many other platforms as well, and even performed live with Ricky Martin in Las Vegas. William has spent the last few years studying the world's top performers and public speakers to uncover their secrets to success. Using what he discovered, he skyrocketed his first studio album, Inspiration, to number one on the independent Billboard charts. And his TEDx talks have been viewed by over 200,000 people. And not just that, he has also spoken for Microsoft, Remax, Corvo, and other esteemed associations. Well, without further ado, let's welcome William into the podcast. Woohoo! Hey, William.
Woo! That's a nice intro. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you so much for, you know, being able to be a part of the podcast. And you know what? Ever since I've been friends with you on Facebook, I was like thinking to myself, man, when is the right time to actually get you onto the podcast? And I was like thinking, hey, this year is the year, because last year I was very packed, but well, this year I was really grateful that, you know, you accepted this invitation, and here we are. And how have you been, man?
I'm doing well.
Right. And you're now based in Las Vegas, right?
Yes.
Right. And okay. And you're moving to Los Angeles pretty soon, I would say, right?
Yes. Probably in the next few months as of this recording.
I see. Okay. Wow. Okay. Nice. And you have always been residing in Las Vegas, or you have been moving around the States?
I lived in Los Angeles for a very long time, for more than 20 years. But the pandemic happened. And then, you know, I couldn't perform live. So I decided to move to Florida for a few years. You know, the reason I moved there is kind of crazy. So I'll start with that story, something a bit different.
Sure.
What happened was that, you know, my entertainment career was, you know, it was not at the peak, right? It was slowing down, and that's normal. I'm still getting opportunities, which is already amazing. So during that time, around 2020, 2019, around that time, I was relying on something called Cameo. It's like an online app where the fans can request me to make a short video of me singing, birthday wishes, a short pep talk or speech. And then that really took off for me. So the problem came when I got so many requests that my neighbors get annoyed hearing me singing She Bangs all day, every day.
Wow, okay. Well, that's nice. I mean, like, how many requests do you have per day? Is it like 100 or thousands?
No. Imagine me singing the song. Can you imagine singing 100 times a day? I mean, my throat will be so tired. My body will be so tired. On average, I was getting more than 20 requests a day, and that's only a lot.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And man, how much do they charge for this short cameo? Is it like $20 per video?
Sure. I don't mind reviewing it. Sure. At the time, I wanted to just earn some extra money on the side because I did have a day job at the time. So I charged around $30. I feel, you know, that's a good price point. So the reason I chose that price point, and that's something that may help you inspire your listeners for other business ideas. I try not to charge the top rate because, you know, maybe I'm not that level. And also, you know, many people want to pay, you know, let's say $200 or $300 for the very short video.
Right.
So I intentionally set like, you know, $20 to $30, you know, something that people feel, okay, it's fun. It's not a big deal. And not a lot of pressure, right, on either side. So, yeah, right. I just went with it. I didn't know it was gonna take off like that. So yeah.
Well, I mean, like you have your star power, even though it wasn't like the best that you wanted it in terms of like, you know, oh man, I'm gonna win American Idol, that kind of star power. But at least it did hit a lot of good notes with a lot of your followers, I believe. And in terms of like one of the Asian guy that actually went to, was an immigrant from Hong Kong all the way to US and then go and try it out, which is quite crazy in a sense, to be in American Idol, to do whatever that you've been doing. But before we actually go into that, right, I would like to ask you, can you share with the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do currently? Because I know back then you were actually once a math teacher for a while, and then you were actually doing something else in terms of like police, right, in a sense.
Yeah, correct. I was a data analyst for the sheriff's department.
Yes. How about now?
It's a long road. Now I get hired again after leaving the government job for like three to 4 years. I'm also going back to the data analyst for the sheriff's department. I feel that every stage of your life, you have to adapt to your circumstances. That's the main takeaway here. The reason I went to go back to that previous job, you know, this time a senior level, so it's, you know, it's reasonable. It's because I got married last year again.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I feel that having a stable job is very helpful, but I will never give up pursuing my dreams. I'm still doing entertainer and speaker. So that's the direction I'm going.
Okay. Well, awesome. And, you know, I'm really happy for you that you got married last year as well. And also at the same time, you able to regain your strength again. I'm pretty sure, you know, you were once, what I've read was that you were once addicted to poker. And then you got into gambling, and then after that you went into a big, huge of debt together with, you know, a lot of, emotionally you were struggling, mentally you were struggling as well. And then after that, you know, COVID hit you and all, and then after that a lot of things happened along the way as well. Yeah. And I just want to ask you, right, back then during American Idol time, okay, your American Idol audition is etched into the memory of millions of people that watched American Idol back then. Some laughed at it, some enjoyed it, some cheered you on, especially I believe your close friends or even your family, they don't see you as a celebrity, but they see you as William. So can you take us back to that moment and share the story behind that American Idol audition? What made you, what inspired you to actually want to go and go for this audition? Because I believe back then it wasn't just, oh, I have a dream, I want to be a performer, but it could be also somebody dare you to do it, or it could be you wanting to prove to the world that, you know, you do not need to have musical talent, you do not need to have all this other stuff, you just need to have that mindset, that mentality that, oh, I'm just gonna have fun, it doesn't matter, people ridicule me and whatsoever not, kind of oh. Mindset. Was that something like that?
No, not quite. No. I didn't have any expectations going into the American Idol audition. I was struggling with school, so I wanted to try something different. Then one day, I saw this poster for a school talent show. Then I figured, why not? Let's try.
Okay.
And then I performed She Bangs by Ricky Martin. To my surprise, right. I won a DVD player. That gave me the confidence to audition for American Idol.
Okay. Wow. You won a DVD player. And then after that, you thought, oh, wow, since I can actually perform quite well, pretty well in the school level, why not go to the national level, in a sense?
Yes.
And, okay, was it scary at the point of time when you actually meet Simon Cowell, Paula Abdul? Randy Jackson, my bad. Was it like a nerve-wracking experience for you, or was it like, okay, I'm gonna be chill, I've done it in school, I'm gonna do it in front of them, let's do it, I don't care anymore, kind of mindset? Was it something like that?
No, I was very nervous. That's mm-hmm. why my dance movements were so jerky, like doing exercise in a samba class, not my proudest moment.
Yeah, I know, right? I was watching it back then, and I rewatched it again a few days ago, and even yesterday, I was like thinking to myself, if I were to go to an audition like this, would I be daring enough to do it? My answer is, man, I wouldn't be daring, you know, to actually do this in front of national TV and all, because technically speaking, I do not have the musical talents. I might break glasses when I'm singing, but I believe this is a really good experience and a really tremendously amazing experience for you. And I would like to ask you, how has this experience in American Idol shaped your life since then?
Well, it changed my life forever, because even the next day when I went back to school, people recognized me and asked me for pictures and autographs. I was like, what did I do? Why do you want me to give you a picture and autograph?
Right. And you know, after Simon Cowell actually said, hey, you know, you ain't gonna fit in this music industry, and you know, you don't have the talent, in a sense. What was going through your mind when he said all this stuff? Was it like, besides you saying, okay, I'm going to tell you I've done my best, but deep inside you, were you hurt when he said all those stuff?
No, because I know that Simon Cowell was the mean judge at the time towards most people. So it was normal for him to react that way.
Right. And would you say that when he's saying all this stuff, was actually not being really mean, but actually was trying to let you know the reality of things?
Yeah, he's always known as the brutally honest person. He doesn't hold anything back, and that's all he did. So I didn't take it personally.
Right, right. And then after American Idol, did you still chance upon him, like meeting him in person and probably another idol show or
yeah, I met him at least 4 to 5 times throughout my career, but it's not intentional. Nice. It's just by chance.
And how was his impression of you after that?
Later on, he did congratulate me. He shook my hand. So, you know, I think that that's very nice of him.
Right. And, you know, one of my friends, he watches your idol audition as well. And he actually asked me to ask you this. He wants to know, what was going through your mind when you decided to do She Bangs?
I really like Ricky Martin, the She Bangs music video since I was young. I wanted to imitate him. Just something that I don't share all the time is that I actually pick a different song to lip sync in high school. Shake Your Bon Bon. My classmates really loved it. I didn't know it, but I was just thinking like, oh, I really like that song. You know, Shake Your Bon Bon.
Right.
Shaking your hips, your booty.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
So I liked it since I was very young. Yeah.
Right, and there were no other song choices that came into mind other than She Bangs back then when you were actually doing this audition.
No, because what happened was that during the preliminary audition, I actually sang a different song, Two Worlds by Phil Collins. I thought that would be a better song for my vocal range and my voice. But the lady that let me through the preliminary round, she discussed with me. She asked me if I know other songs. And then right away, I told her, I know She Bangs because that's the song I won at my school with the talent show, right? So she said, yeah, you should totally do that one. And that was it.
Okay. Well, you must thank that lady for, for
suggesting that song, right?
Yeah. Asking you to do this, or else you wouldn't have made that fame in a sense.
Right.
And William, can you tell us like what are the lessons that you have learned from your experiences in the entertainment industry so far?
Well, I think so many lessons I learned through the past 20 years working in the entertainment industry. I feel that one of the lessons is to trust people, but you always want to be careful how you trust the people. You don't just, in other words, you don't want to just blindly trust. I'm saying that working in the entertainment industry for the last 20 years, I learned that trusting people, that you want to trust people, but you want to trust with caution. You want to take step by step. You know, let's say we agree on a project to film a commercial, for example. You know, you want to make sure that you get paid. You want to make sure that the contract, because that's also a big one. You don't leave the contract. You don't want people to take advantage of you too much. If it's reasonable, then okay, you can use this recording as of today, for example, right? I'm just going to give you a very simple example. Yeah, of course, you can use it however you like, within reason.
Right.
As long as you're not trying to, you know, make a lot of money without me knowing about it. But on the other side, you don't want the big one that people saw other people get in trouble is the restrictions. You know, you don't want to sign your life away when ever. It's just not worth it because you don't know what other opportunities will come up. So trust people, but you want to trust. You know, you want to be careful. If something goes wrong, then you might not want to do the project. The other lesson I learned is that focus on your values. If something is against your value, for example, someone pay me money to say bad words or say something bad about another person. The other lesson I learned about from the entertainment industry is to focus on your values and stand up for your values. Be careful with doing something to say hurt other people. You know, sometimes what they may think is funny, you know, whatever, like a cameo, even a simple video, a cameo. If it's like saying something bad about another person, maybe it's not a good idea.
Yeah, I agree. And can you share with me a bit more in depth in terms of your example, in terms of your real life story? What made you actually realize this in terms of trust? Is it because like you actually went through a certain phase where you got your pick and then someone wanted you to do commercial and then after that something happened? We can don't disclose the name, but you can actually share some examples on that.
One of the most important decisions was back in the beginning. There was this agent that claims that he was a lawyer, I didn't know anything at the time for entertainment industry as a college kid, but he wanted 40% of my lifetime earnings. I say no way.
Even if I am a college kid, when I heard this, 40% is superbly huge.
Yeah,
I mean, man, what the hell? Lifetime earnings. Can you imagine if you're a multi-millionaire, if you're like 10 millions, right? 4 million have to go to him. I said, wow, well, why? I would rather use that money and give it to my parents, or, you know, buy my own stuff, get a house, invest and whatsoever not, right?
Yeah, I knew that was not reasonable. So I was glad that I turned him down. After that, you know, I didn't know how to find a good agent. Looking back at this experience, I think finding a good agent would have been helpful. I think the reasonable standard for the industry is maybe 20 to 25%. Yeah, and I think it's fine, you know, because if he or she can get you extra business, then there's nothing wrong to pay that fee. You know, I don't mind giving a shout out, the positive, you know. But one of the agents I worked with many years, his name is Mike Esterman. You know, he's not my full-time agent. I don't work with him all the time. But for some reason, people think of him whenever there's a big project related to me. So, you know, so that works to my advantage, because sometimes, you know, if not him, I don't get those opportunities.
Yeah, I agree. So you're saying that because of him, you got a lot of opportunities, but without him, for example, right, back then when you actually shot your fame, in a sense, would you say that without him, you still could have gotten some similar opportunities like that? Or totally?
Yeah, of course. No. Yeah. In the beginning, yes. I didn't have the him, you know, as my agent, and I still not working him directly. You know, it's just more like as needed basis, opportunities come up, right? I didn't seek him out. Let's put it that way. You make the most out of the opportunities you're given. But with that being said, I wish I could find a good agent like him. You know, that could be helpful.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Okay, nice. So, well, yeah, I mean, you know, being able to find agents that are not just trustworthy, but also at the same time who appreciates you and your value is really something that every entertainment industry, be it you're a pop singer or even a rock star or whatsoever, you still need this kind of thing. Or even when you're an entrepreneur, you also need this kind of people, or which we call as mentors, to actually be there. And can you actually share with us, earlier on, you actually said about people who appreciate your value and you need to know of your value. Can you share with us, like, what stories do you have in terms of this, in terms of, like, people not seeing your value, or people who saw your value and then you got appreciated and you got the opportunities, or the other way around as well?
Well, my core values are honesty, let's see, loyalty, right, like the universal values. I also want to do good for other people,
right?
So those are the values I look for, and then I just go from there. You know, sometimes it's not once I have that foundation, then I figure out, you know, if this is a project that I could do well, or this is a project that I would struggle. You know, for example, if I were to record a song that's very difficult for me to sing, because, you know, I don't have the ability to handle that song very well, or the movie very well, it could happen. So money is not everything.
I agree. Money is not everything. Even though it's like the shiny object, but instant gratification can kill you if you are always searching for it. William, I'd like to ask you, right, you know, as we are talking about your agent, the one that you really like and you look up to, do you have any other mentors along the way while you're building your career as an entertainment performer?
Absolutely, yes. I'm very grateful to have different mentors in different stages mm-hmm. of my life. So another mentor, she's a lady that I met during my time in Florida, and she taught me about what's the most important thing in my life. She helped me discover what it is. Then for me, I found mm-hmm. out that it's to try something new without being judged or ridiculed.
Right, right. And what's the best piece of advice you've ever received from any of your mentors that you've actually looked up to, or even you've met them personally as well?
Well, if money and resource is not an issue for you, what do you see yourself doing?
Wow, this is deep. This is good. This is really solid advice. Wow, nice. And look at how it has helped you in a sense. I mean, like, even though, yes, you had ounce of life, but still you managed to pull it through and money wasn't an issue. And you managed to go poker for a while for competition as well. I saw some of your posts on Facebook seeing how you actually won as well. Wow. And man, besides this, right, you know, I'm pretty sure while you're building your career up as a performer as well, I'm pretty sure you've met some failures, right? So can you share with us, William, like, do you have a favorite failure of yours, and how has that failure or apparent failure set you up for later success?
Well, I would say the biggest failure was definitely when I decided to get greedy and gamble away the money that I earned so hard throughout the last 20 years. I almost lost everything I have. I was very, very close, one step away. It was because I feel like poker for me, like you mentioned, it was a grind. It was not easy money. I did earn way more money than my day job and other endeavors, but it was tough. I feel like, could I earn the money faster somehow? So that's how I got into the sports betting and baccarat. And the bad news was that I actually won a lot of money in the beginning, only to lose it all mm-hmm. and later on. Right. So that's one of the biggest regrets I have. I learned that in life you need to learn how to be content. You know, you can't always speed up. You know, there's nothing easy. You have to earn it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, recently I've just started to enjoy poker as well. I've started to learn poker like a few years back, and then after that, only recently I got to play a lot of it. Of course, it's not easy to win. It doesn't mean that when you have pocket aces or pocket kings means able to win a board, because sometimes the river, the preflop can show you different set of numbers like 2, 3, 4, and then you have a pocket king. It doesn't make sense for you to actually go all in thinking that you can be the biggest pair, right? So yeah, so I'm pretty sure poker is a nice sport, is something that is really for you to actually learn to strategize. It's like chess piece kind of thing, but it's not really easy to win. And just want to ask you, right, talking about poker, what got you started to play poker? Was it because of, you know, your interests, or was it because of peer pressure, or and then it led to a kind of addiction for you?
Well, I don't feel poker was to me. I was serious. You could even say I was addicted to it, but I don't think that was the problem. The problem was that I wasn't satisfied with what I could earn in poker. So I feel I need to earn faster money. You know, try to return to my former glory days. So that was my problem.
Would you say that, you know, poker was actually something that kind of like a habit, a kind of addiction for you, in a sense where at first it was like, you know, fun, joy and all, and then after that, you know,
I know where you're trying to go, but I disagree poker was an addiction for me, because because it's just like any other business or any other job. If you want to do well and be, you know, the very best you have to go all in. you know, I mean, not the money wise, but you have to. I mean, when I was a professional poker player, I studied my a lot. You know, sometimes 2 to 3 hours a day, very intense. Whoa. I do online exercises. I watch some of the courses online. Very serious. And then I put in my 30 to 40 hours a week. You know, that was my schedule.
Okay, interesting. Wow. So for those of you who are tuning in, we are not encouraging you
to
all in. To go all in poker. But of course, if you want to treat it as a sport like golf and whatsoever sports, yeah, by all means, you can play. But do not bet your whole house or your savings for this, right?
Clarify, right?
Yes. Because it doesn't mean that the amount you earn from poker can be easy as well. Like what we mentioned earlier, it doesn't mean like, you know, pocket kings and pocket aces can win you that board for this.
It was very scary for me to when I started my venture into the professional poker player. So let me share a little bit about my background, how I got into the poker.
Sure.
I know you asked me that one.
Yes.
So I got into poker as a hobby. You know, I watched Chris Moneymaker, a random accountant that won the World Series of Poker back in the 1990s. So I thought, like, well, why not? You know, it's so amazing. Actually, 2000, I'm sorry. It was like, wow, maybe I don't expect to earn like millions of dollars in one tournament, but maybe I can earn some money on the side. And it'll be something fun to do because I like math. I like card games. I like games in general. So I just try. And that's how I got into it. As for how I decided to take it to another level, well, I didn't have that expectation many, many years. I just play it for fun on the side, earn some extra money. No problem, right? After that, I feel like maybe I got bored of my day job. Maybe I wanted to explore something different. So that's why I put a lot of hours. It was almost like a second job in addition to my day job. I started this path maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And then I felt like I succeeded, you know. After about 3 years working really hard, I earned enough money to say I can quit my job.
Wow, that's really ambitious. I mean, like we've seen Phil Ivey and all the other legends that actually made it so far in poker. Right, but not everyone can have that emotional stability to actually handle the board and handle it in a sense, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it will be awesome as well, you know, to know that, you know, you've actually come so far in your career as an entertainer, and then of course a little bit on poker as well. But I'm pretty sure, you know, your values and your principles actually have helped you to where you are right now. So William, can you like share with us what are the key principles or strategies that you believe have contributed to your success?
Well, I'll be brutally honest with yourself. That's one, it's very challenging to do. Like that, but I feel that is one of my greatest strengths. Like sometimes when things go wrong, during my first three months in try to become a professional poker player, I moved to Florida. Things went wrong. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. Right. My money was disappearing real fast. Things were not going well. I had to take a step back and then say, like, okay, do I want to continue? Do I want to keep trying? And I feel like you know, if I could earn the money from before, you know, I feel that I didn't do anything wrong. Maybe it's just bad luck, legitimately bad luck. So separating out the legitimately bad luck versus bad play, that was very hard. If I was wrong about the assessment, I could lose everything, right? But I was right. I was able to earn the money back plus a lot more. You know, for the rest of the year. So I didn't do anything wrong. And it's the same thing for starting your new business or running your even your existing business. You know, you have to take a step back and look at the data and also the experience, how you feel about this current situation, and make the best informed decision. No guarantee, but best informed decision.
Yep, I agree with you on that. Before we start anything, we have to actually look through the data, and also at the same time, we have to be brutally honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
Will this work? And if this can work, how will it work? And we have to reverse engineer, in a sense, to write them down and to think it far ahead rather than just a short-term gain kind of thing, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly, right. Yeah. That was definitely a very, very important lesson I learned, yeah.
Right. So, William, so can you discuss the importance of resilience and perseverance in pursuing our own dreams?
Yeah, so that's a good segue into this question about, you know, not giving up on your dreams. So, you I don't want to be known for any one thing and one thing only, you know. I don't want to be known for only being the Shebangs guy or the player. I mean, as part of my identity, but what I want to be known for is someone that's want to try something new and continue to explore new paths and not be afraid of it, right? Like I'm a dream chaser, but I'm doing it in a realistic way. I'm not gonna go for a dream that has no chance of success, but at the same time, I also want to push the limits. So the way you do that is like I suggested earlier, you take step by step. You know, let's say you start a new business. You know, maybe things are not going so well. As of this recording, I'm helping my stepmom start a new business, you know, massage business in LA. Oh. I mean, I'm assisting. I don't know any idea of that business, you know. But you know, some of the challenges, you know, is the funding, you know, getting the license, all that. Do we know for sure that we'll get approved? I mean, are we going to? No. I mean, could things go wrong and we lose our initial capital? Of course, but. The way that we manage the risk is that we know the exit strategy. We know that, you know, if we, for example, we cannot get the license to start to run the business properly, we could just sell the store and at least, you know, get most of the money back. So that's the kind of planning that I encourage your listeners to go through. What is your plan and then try to mitigate the worst case scenarios.
Right, and would you say that having a plan B is workable, or it is not ideal for anybody and any situations?
Having a plan B is amazing. Even for my situation, I'm going to circle back that, you know, I'm proud to take a day job, you know, working for the police department for data analysts. Nothing wrong with that. I'm proud of it. Because having that stable income allows me to make the best informed decisions. I'm not rushing to make a decision just because I need the money.
Right. Okay. Got it. Oh, love your advice over here. And, you know, since we're talking about you helping your stepmom with business, then I'm pretty sure this will help in terms of people who are aspiring individuals who are wanting to move beyond the current level that they have. So can you share with us, like, what advice would you give to these aspiring individuals who are tuning into a podcast right now that are looking to achieve success in their own ventures?
Okay. I would look for some tangible evidence that your idea can succeed. Tangible evidence. Okay. It's not just people tell you, oh, this is a good idea, right? I would give different examples. For poker, you know, I track my records very strict, and then I use the systems online to study my decisions. How good were my important decisions? Because those decisions only come up maybe, you know, a few, two or three times a session, or maybe even once a session. But those decisions affect my bottom line so much, the win rate. So those are decisions I study more, right? So it's transferring back to you know other businesses or ventures, you know, what evidence do you have that you think you succeed? My stepmom, the starting the new massage business in Los Angeles, she has tangible evidence because she had the experience doing massage for other people already as a part-time.
Right.
Her customers love her. So it makes a lot. It makes sense that you know, if she were to start her own business, she does have a reasonable chance of to succeed. So that's how you know if your venture has some, you know, it's no guarantee. But that's how you know whether your idea is good or not, because there is some, you know, proof or evidence. You know, for me, I another thing we mentioned earlier is about, you know, I'm a motivational speaker. You know, I didn't think of this in the beginning. It's more like I reinvent myself as I went along, and I noticed there's an opportunity because people say that I'm very inspirational. Yes, I don't have the pure musical talent, but people like what I stand for. And then when I reflect on that, I was like, wait, why am I, you know, only singing and performing and people getting a few good laughs? Why am I not taking full advantage to share my story more and then maybe connect the dots for people?
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, and it's great that you actually step out of your comfort zone to be a speaker, to actually go and, you know, inspire people with your stories rather than, you know, just hiding behind and letting people know that, oh, I'm just that guy who went to American Idol for that, right? And I would like to ask you, right, small shout out to your stepmom. What is the name of the business or the shop of your stepmom? So anyone who's tuning in from US can actually go over to your mom's massage place for solid massage. Yeah.
Very sure. The name of the business is LN Beauty Spa. It is located in the Monterey Park area. So, you know, if you want to learn more, you can reach out to me. You can use Instagram, William Hung Official.
Okay. Awesome. So for those of you who are tuning in and you're based in US and LA Las Vegas or any part of the state, and you feel like, hey, I want to patronize and show my support to William and his stepmom's business, right? Can go over to this amazing place, and of course you can hit him up on Instagram or even LinkedIn or any place and invite. And if you want to invite him to for a convention, for example, you can also hit him up as well, okay? And I'd like to ask you, right, you know, how about criticisms and setbacks? I'm pretty sure you have already shared a bit of your backstory on how you went through certain failures in a sense, but can you share with us more on what are the advices that you give to the others that are facing criticisms or setbacks in their own pursuits, especially when family, best friends, or even the people that they love say, nah, you cannot do that. You cannot do this or achieve success in this venture, for example.
My parents, my own parents, were probably the biggest skeptics in the beginning. And I don't blame them. Yeah. Yeah, because they were fair in their judgment and evaluation that I was I don't have the pure musical talent. I didn't get a music degree. I don't my singing voice is not, you know, the very best. So, you know, whatever they think or they feel like, oh, why are you doing this, William? It's the entertainment shouldn't be for you. It's not right for you. Well, I don't fault them for that, but at the same time, I take a step back. I think to myself, like, well, yeah, maybe I don't have that, but maybe do I have something else that can captivate other people? So that's how I look at the situation.
Right. Instead of looking at it so negatively, you can actually look at it positively and realistically, asking yourself in a nutshell, how can this, you know, be better in a sense, and how can you what are the other attributes that can actually help you in
yeah,
a sense?
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's not always the 1 + 1 equals to the straight line thinking.
Right? Yeah. Because 2 × 1 can be equals 2 as well, in a sense, right? Yeah. So yeah, understand. I get where you're coming from. And you know, there's one of these questions as well is from our follower. They are curious about this as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. So V from India actually asked this: what do you hope your legacy will be beyond your American Idol fame? Besides letting us know that, oh, you are the person who likes to try new things, kind of thing, what other things that is called to yourself that you want to actually share with the world, that you want people to know about?
I want people to continue to fight for their dreams, never give up.
Right.
I want to be that symbol of inspiration.
Nice. Okay, so your legacy will be letting people know that, hey, you have your dream, you have your passion, you have your goal, go for it. Don't give up because of what daddy, mommy says, but just tell yourself that, okay, I'm going to prove to myself and the other people that this plan is right. This plan is the utmost thing that I wanted to do, and I know I can achieve things even if I made some mistakes or fail earlier on.
Right.
Okay. Right. Nice. Okay. Now, William, as we're coming to the end of the podcast, I have one last question for you. Okay. Imagine this. You suddenly lose everything, your money, your reputation, your assets. What would you do from day 1 to day 30 to save yourself?
I like that question because as entrepreneurs or people who take risks, it is possible, as careful as we are, that we could lose everything. We might have to start from scratch or ground zero. But yeah, something that can never be taken away from you is your skill set, the lessons you learn, the experience you have. So I would use that to rebuild from day 1. If I were to start over again, I probably would go back into the speaking and maybe even coaching. I think that would be the fastest way to rebuild my business or my value, because when you help other people in a meaningful way, that's how you can build the trust and relationships.
Right. So are you saying that even when your reputation is being tarnished, for example, right,
yes,
you lost it, okay, not as an American Idol, but maybe something else, okay? For example, you are known as somebody that cheated in business, for example, right?
Right.
Even when you are going through that phase, would you say that being a speaker and coach could still help you regain the trust and the confidence from the people around?
Yes, because I tell you why. Because I only recently decided to share my story about my gambling addiction, you know, last few months. It's not something that was easy for me to share. You know, I had a choice. I could just hide it. I didn't have to share it. But I chose to share it because I feel it's valuable for the world to learn, to get a different perspective. So going back to your question, I feel that if you can admit whatever mistake you make and how you're going to be better moving forward, people will forgive you over time. It's okay.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. Oh, nice. Wow. Awesome. Well, you know, thank you so much, you know, for dropping so many golden nuggets in this episode. We really love it. I really enjoyed it. And William, can you share with us, like, what are your current projects or goals, and what can we expect more from you in the future?
Well, I will continue to perform and speak whenever I get the opportunity. I will continue figuring out how to achieve the next dream, because you know one of my dreams was to perform Ricky Martin. I finally achieved that dream many years later in 2018. Yes. That's 14 years since my American Idol audition, 2004.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was my dream, but now I have to figure out what is my next dream. I have some ideas, but I'm not sure yet. You know, I always love games. If I can build some kind of gaming platform to help other people to explore more possibilities in life, that's what I would want. And I learned that I don't have to do it all by myself, and I don't even have to be the one, you know, building it from scratch. So, you know, if there's a project out there, I know there are. I don't want to get into too much, but the main idea is that there are already people working on that. So if I can find more opportunities and collaborate, then I feel that I will achieve my next dream as well.
Nice. Okay. Awesome. So, talking about collaboration, I'm also a huge fan of collaboration as well. So, would love to actually hit you up again to, I would say, link you up with some of my friends who are professional speakers as well, and I believe they are really gonna be stoked to have you in Singapore to speak as well, which is this annual event called Asia Professional Speakers Convention. I will link you up with this guy called David Lim. He's a Singapore motivational speaker, is known as the Everest guy, who climbed Everest from Singapore, and a few other opportunities as well. I would actually love to have you to meet some of these people as well. And so William, where can my audience, my followers, find you on social media besides Instagram?
I think LinkedIn is also another solid option. I do have a profile, okay. LinkedIn profile, but you can message me there. Yes, like you mentioned, Instagram I'm most active on. I haven't been posting very much lately, but I still check the platform every day. I check for any new comments, any news, anything, things like that. So I won't miss it. So you reach out to me, I'll definitely get back to you.
Awesome, awesome. So it's William Hung Official, right, on Instagram?
Yes.
Okay. So for those of you who want to know more about, you know, what he's doing, and also at the same time support his stepmom's business in terms of massage, or even get him to your country to speak, you can actually look him up on LinkedIn as William Hung or Instagram as William Hung Official. All right. So with that, I would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in, and not forgetting thanking you once again for appearing on my podcast. It's really my honor and pleasure to have you here. And take care and stay tuned for the next episode of The Legacy Show. Bye-bye. Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of The Legacy Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support, and also at the same time, like, comment, and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends. And not forgetting that we have just created a Telegram group. It's called The Legacy Show Family. So you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. All right. So with that, I would like to thank you once again. See you and stay tuned for another episode of The Legacy Show.